Our scripture reading this morning will be from James chapter 3, starting in verse 5 through verse 12. If you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's word. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord, my God, we come before you this morning. We are so thankful that you have given us instruction. Lord, we thank you that you are at work in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would guide us, that you would teach us this morning as we look at this passage, and Lord, that we would honor you with our lips. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us. We recognize that it's Christ in us that gives us victory in bridling our tongue. Lord, we pray that you would bless us now. Feed your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, at the end of chapter 2, James is teaching us that the works of man really show us whether his faith is real, whether his faith is genuine, saving faith, or whether it's a false, dead faith. And so James is teaching us here that the use of our tongue is another fruit that identifies our faith, whether our faith is a genuine saving faith or whether, again, it's a worthless, dead faith. James 1:26 says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. And that really sums it up, doesn't it? You know, just like you will be known by your works, you will be known by your words. The words that come out of you, they are testifying as to which kind of faith is inside of you. You can claim to have real saving faith. You can claim to have faith in Christ. You can claim whatever you want to. But if you don't bridle your tongue, James says, you're deceiving your own heart, and your religion is worthless. You know, show me a man who does not bridle his tongue, and you'll see a man whose religion is worthless. Now you might say, why is that? I mean, how can James say this? It's because Christ changes us. It's because he changes us. If Christ has changed you on the inside, it's going to show on the outside. It's going to show when you open your mouth. It's going to show. You know, God changes our heart, and it changes everything. I mean, it changes the way we think about God. It changes the way we think about our neighbor. It changes the way we think about everything. It changes what we do. It changes what we say. You know, maybe you've never thought of it this way before, but part of what God is teaching us here in James 1:26 specifically is that bridling your tongue is evidence of Christ in you. It's good fruit. It's good fruit. Now, if you're like me, you know, this is nothing new. You've been taught your whole life. You need to bridle your tongue. You need to be careful what you say. But even though this is nothing new, as we go through this section, I mean, aren't you struck? I am so struck here as I've looked through this section at how dangerous the tongue is. Dangerous. We cannot take these words lightly. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that words are harmless. Words can destroy. You know, there's certain things that we recognize the danger. You know, when we think of maybe, handling guns or handling sharp tools, explosives, weapons, we immediately recognize the need to be careful. Be careful. There's potential harm here. Well, we really need to think of the tongue in that same way. We should recognize that our tongue is like a dangerous weapon. We need to be careful as we use it. You know, think for a moment of the tongue as a poisonous snake. You know, I don't know about you, but I hate snakes. I don't want anything to do with snakes. But imagine for a moment that you were holding a snake, a poisonous snake. I know, I shudder at the thought. But imagine that you're holding a poisonous snake in your hand. It would be very evident to you, it would be clear that you got to be careful. I mean, you got to keep a tight grip, and especially on the head. I mean, there's no relaxing. You can't let your guard down. If you get careless, the snake's going to bite you. And maybe somebody around you as well. You know, that's really the part of this mindset that we should have with the use of our tongue. It's dangerous, and we need to be careful. We need to use caution. Really, I pray that through this passage, God would really renew in us an awareness of how dangerous and powerful the tongue is. Not just that we would be careful to bridle our tongue, but also that we would recognize the consistency of God's work in the life of believers. You know, Christ doesn't just change a few areas of our life. Completely changes everything. And praise the Lord. One of those areas He changes is our tongue, the way we use it. Now, last time we began this section, we looked at verses 1 through 4, and we saw there that all of us as natural men are so very prone to sin with our tongue. Sinning with the tongue comes natural, it comes easy. We don't even have to think about it. We'll do it. And we saw that becoming a teacher, a preacher, is not for everyone. And that responsibility should not be taken lightly. We also saw that self-control in the tongue leads to self-control in the entire body. As a believer bridles their tongue, they're able to bridle their whole body as well. And this really just shows the consistency of God and His work in us, changing our life. Discipline and self-control over the tongue leads to discipline and self-control over the entire body. And so we saw that the tongue is key. Like the small bit in a horse's mouth, or the small rudder directing the ship, the tongue may be small, but it's extremely powerful. And we must control our tongue. It has great influence over the rest of our body. So here, as we pick back up in verse 5 and finish out this section through verse 12 today, you'll notice that although the topic of bridling the tongue is the same, one major difference from the first four verses is that now James is speaking of the power of the tongue, the power that the tongue has over the rest of the body. And the focus here, though, now is instead of the positive side of controlling the horse, that's a good thing, of the rudder controlling the ship, that's a good thing, to be able to steer the ship. Now the focus is on the negative side of that, how the sins of the tongue can defile the rest of the body, the damage that can be done. So verse 5, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. You know, fire is an amazing thing. Fire is amazing in so many different ways. But certainly it's amazing in its ability to spread. I mean, nothing else. What else can you take that is small and just here, and I mean, you take a little bit of water, and I mean, throw a bucket of water. Are you going to create a flood? No. But with fire, it's incredible how it can spread. It is destructive. Spreads so rapidly. You know, I haven't heard recently, but in years past, you know, you'll hear in the news, in California or wherever, all these wildfires. I mean, fires burning up so many acres of forest. And they're just burning and burning for days or weeks or longer, destroying houses, some killing people, burning up, burning and burning. And it was all started by one small fire. It's incredible. And so here James is saying the tongue is like that. The tongue is like that. It's so small and yet it's so incredibly powerful. Its destruction spreads like a wildfire. Certainly, of course, this is speaking of the words that we're speaking with the tongue. What we say, and what great destruction our words can cause. Just like a small fire can end up destroying an entire forest, so also just a few words can quickly spread and lead to the destruction of relationships, people's reputations, even people's lives. We've got to understand that words matter. Words are powerful. What you say can spread quickly and can destroy greatly. Verse 6 then, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. Well, verse 6 is full, isn't it? Let's just take this a piece at a time. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. You see, the tongue has so much potential for evil. There is so much potential there for for evil. Like a fire that has the potential to destroy an entire forest, so there is great potential for the tongue to destroy. And it spreads. I mean, it's a fire. You've heard the term, don't play with fire, right? It's because it's dangerous. The tongue is dangerous. You know, throughout this section, James is really isolating the tongue, this part of the body. He's isolating it from the rest of our body and emphasizing not only the power of the tongue for destruction, but also how it readily expresses our fallen nature with sin and wickedness. I think James is expressing here with this phrase, the very world of iniquity, that the tongue is almost like it has its own realm of countless opportunities for sin. I mean, the tongue can sin and spread wickedness like no other part of our body. Speech, of course, is not bad. It's not evil in and of itself. But it opens a door to so many sinful opportunities. We can lie, slander, gossip, complain, curse. And in our fallen nature, we're very prone to do all of those things with our mouth. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. You know, in some ways, because what comes out of our mouth is an overflow from the heart, we think that what you say really isn't affecting you at all because it's already what's in your heart, right? And yet, really, it's both. Your words are revealing your heart's condition. At the same time, your words are contaminating your entire self at the same time. You're polluting yourself with your own tongue. Mark 7:20-23 says, and he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit and sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. It's both. It's both. Again, we see here that our words are not harmless. Even to ourselves, they're not. When we don't bridle our tongue, it's going to defile ourself, our whole body. Now, no matter what the sin is, it's a dangerous position to be in to try to think that you can manage your sin, to think that you can say words and escape the effect that they have, that you can sin with your mouth and it not hurt you. No, you will be affected. You will be defiled. Then it says, goes on in verse 6, and sets on fire the course of our life. Isn't this astounding? Just how far-reaching the effects of the sin of the tongue are. It's like a fire that just spreads and spreads. Like the small flame that ends up destroying the great forest, so the tongue is not only defiling yourself, but the sin of destruction is far-reaching into the lives of the people around you. You know, think about this. The words you speak affect yourself and everyone that you come into contact with. Your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, and even beyond that, as Your words can be repeated. And the fire spreads. You know, if the sins of our mouth are a fire, we are torching so many people. You know, when you lie, it's bad for you. It's bad for the one you lied to. It's bad for the one you lied about. Gossip, slander, whatever it is. It creates destruction that is so farther reaching than we can imagine. Like a forest fire, just raging out of control. You know, if you don't bridle your tongue, your entire life will be engulfed. There's so much potential there to harm others, to make a complete mess of our lives. And then, and is set on fire by hell. Now, certainly it's true that the unbeliever who uses their tongue to sin, in the end, at the end of their life in judgment, hell is waiting for them. And that's true. But also, I think this could be speaking not so much to the end in judgment, but I think it's referring more to the evil powers of darkness that are working, tempting us, trying to get us to sin in any way that we will with our mouth. That Satan, the father of lies, and his demons are doing all that they can to set your tongue on fire, doing all that they can to get you to use your words for evil. Then verse 7, for every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. So here James, he starts to explain man's ability to tame things. And really, it reminds you of the circus, doesn't it? I mean, it's amazing what men can tame in wild animals. I mean, probably you've seen. I mean, it's incredible. You take lions and tigers. You're scared to death of lions and tigers, right? I mean, they can devour you. And yet men can tame them to the point of teaching them tricks. I mean, getting them, you know, they go in there in the pen with the lion. They go in there, and they crack their whip or whatever they do, and the lions jump through this ring of fire. And, I mean, or you'll see men can ride on the back of a killer whale. Is that crazy? I mean, men can tame animals. It's remarkable. Men can tame birds. A bird that can fly, that is free, can tame a bird to fly to carry a message to a certain place and then return. It's amazing. Men can tame things. But then we see we can't tame the tongue in verse 8. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Men can tame all kinds of wild animals, but we can't tame our own tongue. We can't bring our own tongue under control. Now, it isn't that the tongue cannot be tamed. It's that no man can tame it. No man can tame it. God is certainly able, but not man. The point here is that the tongue is more wild, more uncontrollable than even wild animals are. Are you starting to get the right... Are you seeing how serious this is? The power of the tongue. You can tame all kinds of animals, teach them to be controlled by you, but your own tongue you cannot tame. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Again, what a statement. A restless evil, full of deadly poison. It's a restless evil. It does not submit, does not ever quit trying to run its own course. You know, man does not ever get to the point with his tongue where he says, I've finally tamed it. I mean, I finally got it under control. I don't need to keep my eye on what I say anymore. I don't need to watch what I say. I don't need to keep my guard up. I've conquered my tongue. It's good. It's in line. I don't have to worry about it anymore. No. The tongue is not that way. There will be times that you might even surprise yourself with what you said or with what you almost said. You can never let your guard down. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. You see what I mean earlier when I mentioned about a poisonous snake? Wow. Full of deadly poison. Now again, you're not holding a non-venomous snake. No, you're holding a poisonous snake. The tongue is a world of iniquity, restless evil, deadly poison. What a description. And we each have this. We each have this. So often I think we underestimate the tongue, the great potential for evil that it really has. Matthew 12:36 speaks of having to give an account for every careless word that you speak. Well, after looking at this and how dangerous and powerful and prone to sin we are with the tongue, it makes more sense, doesn't it? No, we cannot afford to be careless with our words. Oh, no. They're dangerous. We can't be careless about speaking. We must bridle our tongue. Verse 9 and 10. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. So here James shows us the hypocrisy of the tongue. Our tongue participates in both blessing and cursing. Our tongue should be used to bless God and bless our fellow man who has been made in the image of God. What a shameful inconsistency for us to use our tongue to bless God and then turn around and use it to curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. We should be consistent. Consistent. Really, it reminds me that we need to be consistent in the use of our tongue in following both of the greatest commandments. You shall love the Lord your God, and you shall love your neighbor. Our tongue should not be used for both good and evil, but for good alone. James is clear. The inconsistency in the use of our mouth is wrong. It is not what God would desire for us to do. You know, I've seen this. You know, I've seen professional athletes playing their game, whatever it is, and maybe the game's not going the way they wanted it to. And, you know, they don't need a microphone. You know, you can read lips pretty easy when somebody's upset. And they're cursing, and they're publicly displaying a terrible attitude and disrespect for their fellow man. And then they end up coming back and winning the game. And the reporter talks to him after the game and they say, "Thanks be to God, we won. Thanks be to God." This is not impressive. This is not impressive at all. Yes, give glory to God, but be consistent. Be consistent. Love your neighbor as well. This is part of the beauty of Christ changing us. It isn't just this little part of us that He's changed. He changes all of us, all the way through, so that there is consistency in our behavior and consistency in our speech. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. So here, James, he draws our attention to nature to hammer this lesson home. The lesson of be consistent with your speech. And so here he asks these three questions. Does a fountain send out both fresh and bitter water? No. No, it doesn't. Does a fig tree produce olives? No. Does a vine produce figs? No. So even nature itself shows us the consistency. The consistency of fruit. You do not see the same tree bearing two different kinds of fruit. And neither do you see salt water produce fresh water. The point here is that God's people show consistency with their tongue. The fruit of our lips testify that we belong to Christ. God's people do not go to church on Sunday praising God and go to work on Monday cursing their boss or their coworkers. Really, praise be to God. I mean, praise be to God. By His grace, He gives us consistency. It's His work in us. And specifically here, consistency in the use of our tongue. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For the mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Again, I read this verse and I think, the good man. Who is the good man here? The good man is the one who Christ has changed his heart. This is the work of Christ. So in conclusion, praise God. Praise God. He has done what we cannot do. We are weak, but He is strong. Praise God. Our mouth is a testimony of the loving kindness of the Lord. Apart from Christ, we would be blessing when we want to bless and cursing when we want to curse. We'd be using our mouth for evil. apart from Christ. You know, last week, Charlie Kirk was murdered. I was very disappointed. Very disappointed. Kind of depressed, really. I had no idea how much some people hate him. I had no idea. You know, I saw a video of the event, and when he was shot, and not everyone, certainly, but there were some who they are there in person, who upon seeing him shot, immediately responded with rejoicing. They celebrated. That was their instinct. That was their response. They celebrated his murder. I was talking to Mason about this, and we were working, and I told him how shocked I was that people would celebrate a man being murdered. And, you know, I told him, I can't think of anyone that I disagree with so much that I would rejoice if they were murdered. And I'm just struggling with this, and how can this be? And Mason said, that's because that's not who we are. We don't celebrate when harm comes to our enemy, because our hope is that they'll come to Christ. Our hope is that they will be saved as well. That they will repent of their sins and come to Christ. And so we don't use our tongue to celebrate harm coming to an enemy. We use our tongue to pray for them, that God would change their heart. Some will celebrate the death of their enemies. But why won't we? We won't because it's Christ. It's all because of Christ in us. That's why. He makes all the difference. He's changed our heart. And that changes everything. Changes the way we use our words with a bridled tongue. It's just testifying of Christ in us. Oh, the tongue is a fire. It is a restless evil, deadly poison. Certainly we don't use it perfectly yet, do we? But if God has changed your heart, it will become more and more evident in the opening of your mouth. It's going to show. The fruit of your lips will testify of Christ as you love God and love your neighbor also. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you because this is what you have done. Lord, apart from you, we would be rejoicing when harm comes to our enemy. Apart from you, Lord, we would be rejoicing to see our enemy murdered. Lord, that's not who we are. Because we are in you. Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing in our heart and for the work that you do that is consistent. Lord, we can't take credit for the good fruit that comes out of our mouth, but we can praise you for it. We thank you so much, Lord, for the work that you're doing in us. Lord, we pray that we would honor you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to continue to guard our mouth. Lord, you have reminded us here in this passage how powerful and dangerous and evil our tongue tends to be with our sin nature. And yet, Lord, we praise you for the radical transformation that you have made in the hearts and in the mouths of your people. Lord, we pray that we would honor you, that we would use our mouth to bless you and to bless our neighbor. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for changing us. We pray that we would bless you and honor you in the opening of our mouth in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.